I'm Elder John Keene with the Anchor Missionary Baptist Church in Anchorage, Alaska. And today is Thursday, April 21st, 2016. And I'm responding to a radio question from a listener in East Africa. This question is from Mr. George Dan. And his question is, I have been discouraged by false prophets. Should I keep going to a church where the leaders are living in open sin? Mr. Dan, I'm gathered this evening with the Anchor Missionary Baptist Church in Anchorage, Alaska, in the United States of America. And before I get into answering your question, I want to address the general subject of false prophets. The Apostle Paul in his epistles spoke of men whom he called Judaizers. They were converted Jews who were visiting various Gentile churches trying to persuade Christians to revert back to the law of Moses. In a sense, they were false prophets in the Lord's churches. However, I'm not sure your situation is the same. I noted that you had submitted a question late last year, which in part stated, I don't know which religion to be a part of. This statement and your question about false prophets makes me wonder if you're speaking about men who are not preaching about the Christ of the Bible, or if you're speaking about doctrinally correct men who are living sinful lives. Let me say before I get into your question deeper that there are many men in the world today who are not preaching or teaching about the Jesus we see in the Bible. They could certainly be called false prophets. Some examples would include groups outside of what we call Christianity, such as Muslims, Mormons, and Jehovah's Witnesses. In these three examples, they do not teach Jesus to be the true and living God of the Bible. Muslims say Jesus was just a prophet, even inferior to Muhammad. Both Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, I believe, say that Jesus was an angel. In case you were wondering about these religions, let me encourage you not to be swayed by anyone who says Jesus is less than the only true and living God. Some examples would also include groups within what we call Christianity, such as Roman Catholics and Orthodox Catholics. These groups have developed a priesthood within their churches, modeled after Israel of the Old Testament, and have turned the grace of Jesus Christ into a system of works. They have taken the Judaizers of the Apostle Paul's day to a whole new level. If you are concerned about which religion within Christianity is the right religion, let me direct you to a previous radio broadcast where I answer the question, which church is a true church? For your question today, I want to assume you're talking about false prophets that can come into the Lord's churches and wreak havoc among God's people. So if I look at your question again, you said, I have been discouraged by false prophets. Should I keep going to a church where the leaders are living in open sin? As I look at that question, and before I get into my reply, let me also address the first statement you made. You said, I have been discouraged by false prophets. Let me read portions of Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 15 through verse 20, where Jesus says, Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. He also said, A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And then he concludes by saying, So then you will know them by their fruits. Sometimes we take this out of context and try to apply it to each other, but here Jesus is speaking to his disciples and is warning them about the danger of false prophets. He says to beware of them. That means to be on guard, be on the lookout for false prophets. I wanted to encourage you with the knowledge that Jesus said they could be a problem and we should be watching for them. Hence he says be on guard. Yes, it might be disappointing to find false prophets, but it should not discourage us when they show up because Jesus warned us about them. So as we continue, my goal is to redirect your emotions from discouragement to encouragement because Jesus has prepared us for this situation. In this passage, Jesus also indicates it will be a little tricky to spot them as they appear to be sheep outwardly, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So you won't be able to tell they are false prophets by their outward appearance, which I think also includes their public actions and speech. Outwardly, they are not outrageously sinful in their behavior, and their speech might be filled with lovely words for God. Regarding false prophets, Jesus tells us you will know them by their fruit. Please recognize we are not judging them, rather we are becoming fruit inspectors. Jesus will judge them. In Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22, the Apostle Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." I think this is a good passage for us to focus on the differences in fruit between a false prophet and a good prophet. This list of good fruit of the Spirit is what a good tree, what true prophets of God will produce. You would expect false prophets to produce just the opposite sort of fruit. So as we look at love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, what we see is that a prophet of God with these fruits is a different sort of person than the prophet like at the end of the passage where it says, "Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another." So if I could, let me look at these in contrast. The love, one of the fruits of the Spirit, would be like Jesus' love for us, not the love of self. The joy is our joy in Jesus, not in the things of the world. Peace would be that kind of peace that Jesus gives to our hearts, not the kind of peace that the world offers. Patience is that patience that we saw exhibited by Jesus and not the impatience of Satan. Kindness is what, again, Jesus demonstrated, but not unkindness. Goodness of Jesus, not the selfishness of the world. The faithfulness of Jesus and faithfulness to Jesus, not to our own flesh. The gentleness of Jesus and not the rudeness of our own will, and the self-control that Jesus exhibited, not our flesh's lack of control. So false prophets look like sheep when you first see them, but after you know them a while, the falseness of their heart begins to show up in their attitudes and motives. In your question, you stated that leaders in the church you attend were living in open sin. I'm not sure what you meant by open sin. The Bible teaches that God hates sin and that we should too, even about our own sins. And while I generally agree that there are no big or little sins in God's eyes, God does distinguish between sins in the members of His churches. He says there are certain sins that should not be accepted in His churches and that action should be taken against unrepentant members who commit these sins. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, Apostle Paul wrote, "I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters. For then you would have had to go out of the world. But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person, or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one." There are other verses, and I won't take the time to read them, but you'll find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, Colossians 13. When you put these together, you'll see lists of sins in which church members, in the church context, God says we should not keep company with these people which I think he means to exclude them if they don't repent. And he says, nor should we eat with them, which I think he's referring to the Lord's Supper. The list of these sins includes idolatry, fornication, adultery, drunkenness, murder, thievery, homosexuality, heretics, those given to acts of wrath or vengeance, those given to witchcraft, and those causing strife or division. While this is not a complete list of sins in these verses, they are an example of behavior that should be dealt with in the Lord's churches by excluding the unrepentant members who do these things. Maybe this verse will help define what I think you're saying. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. Living in open sin, to me, is about people living unruly lives that are clearly in the list of sins we just mentioned. They show no shame for their behavior, nor is there any repentance in them for this behavior. Their lives do not reflect Jesus. I believe there is a difference in the behavior of false prophets and the behavior of people living in open sin. The difference being false prophets appear to be Christians, while those living in open sin do not appear that way. In responding to your question, I will address both types of people. I'll designate them as either false prophets or public sinners. I want to bring up one more thing before I get to answering your question. You didn't mention if you are a member of the church you are attending. That will also make a difference to my reply. So, let's look at your question. Let's look at my reply to your question. And let's first consider leaders in the church who are public sinners. These are prophets, leaders, who otherwise have testimonies of being godly, having a conversion with Christ, but you see that they're having a problem with sin. If you are not a member of this church, you do not have specific responsibility to involve yourself in any discipline of their leaders for their sinful behavior. Certainly you may have opportunity to speak to other people in the church or perhaps to other leaders of this church that are not exhibiting or publicly endorsing this behavior. You can ask if others see what you're seeing, maybe to confirm what you see, or to learn about other circumstances of which you're unaware. If this behavior is confirmed by others, you can ask if this type of sinful behavior is acceptable to these church members or to the church body, and if the church is taking any sort of disciplinary action. It may be that you do not have all the facts, and obtaining additional information might put this behavior in a different perspective for you. However, if you confirm what you have seen and determine that the local church is accepting of this sinful behavior, then your responsibility is to quit attending this church and seek out one of the Lord's churches. If you are a member of this church, you do have some responsibility in this situation. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. In this passage, Jesus gives his church in Jerusalem the authority to judge the sins of their members and discipline them according to their repentance or lack of repentance. In 1 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 12, it says, For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. In this passage, the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth, they not only have the authority to discipline members, but also the obligation. God expects his churches to not accept certain sins from members, as we said before. So your responsibility as a member is to support loving discipline by the church. Only the local church has disciplinary authority over its members. This authority and obligation is not given to an individual member, including the pastors or leaders. So be supportive of the church taking loving action to discipline these leaders, which may include removing them from their leadership positions or excluding from membership in the church. It is loving discipline because your actions are not vindictive nor in anger. Rather, they are to be in recognition that this member needs help and should be receptive to the decisions by the church. And if they won't hear the church, then excluding them puts them on the outside of the church where God said He would help them by judging them. It is not loving to allow a member to continue in unrepentant sin. Being supportive means being a participant. So as a member of the church, hear the discussion, seek out the truth, and support what God said to do to help this person and to glorify God. In your question, Mr. Dan, you said leaders in the plural sense. I recognize the difficulty in disciplining leaders in a church. They often have strong personal relationships with many of the members. It might be that the majority of the leaders in your church are engaged in sinful behavior of the sort God said not to accept. It may even be that your desire to hold these sinful leaders accountable for their behavior would place you in the minority. I would still encourage you to speak out against their behavior and your desire for church action to discipline them if they remain unrepentant. Your speech should be filled with love for God, love for the leaders committing these sins, and love for God's church. Even if you are in the minority, church people need to hear the truth in a kind and loving way. If there is no desire from the church body to discipline these leaders, you should be looking to move your church membership somewhere else. Maybe this seems like drastic action to you. The fact that these men are leaders in a church that does not take church discipline seriously means there is too much of the world in them, which makes them ineffective in showing forth Christ to the world and to its own members. And showing forth Christ is the purpose of the Lord's churches. Again, if you need help finding one of the Lord's churches, look for my previous recorded message on a true church. Now let's consider leaders in this church who are false prophets. From my previous discussion of false prophets, you should realize these men are not saved. It isn't that they are misguided or that they have been deceived by sin, but their hearts are not right and they are practicing deceit. They pretend to be godly on the outside, but the Lord who sees the heart says on the inside they are ravenous wolves who seek to devour God's people. And of course, we're speaking spiritually here. There are only two choices in this matter for you or for the church where they lead. Either they should lead this church or you should leave this church. Church discipline and efforts to encourage repentance do not apply to false prophets. And if they remain as leaders in this church, the saved in this church, whether members or not, are in danger of being deceived by them. So if you're not a member of this church, you should quit attending. You may be inclined to speak privately with members or other leaders of this church as to your conclusion that these leaders are false prophets, but you're under no obligation as a non-member to do this or to make any demands on them as a church. Simply tell them why you are leaving. And if you are a member of this church, you should talk to other members or other leaders. You should inform them of your conclusion that these leaders are false prophets. If they had not come to the same conclusion about these men being false prophets, then perhaps you have helped them and they will support action to remove these false prophets from the church. If you and they are successful, then you can remain as a member of this church and work to repair damages. If they disagree with you about this conclusion, they should provide compelling evidence that your conclusion is mistaken. If they can't, then you must leave this church. Either you must leave or the false prophets must leave. It is dangerous for any church member to remain in a church with false prophets. So allow me just briefly to summarize the answer to your question about attending a church where false prophets or leaders living in open sin are present. Please recognize the biblical difference between false prophets and leaders living in open sin. False prophets are unsaved leaders pretending to be saved leaders. Remember, you will know them by the intention of their hearts, which will be revealed by the type of fruit they bear and not by their public image. They are people who speak into the Lord's churches with the intention of devouring God's sheep. They must be removed from the Lord's church or else you must leave. Leaders living in open sin are saved leaders who have been overtaken by their personal sins. which should not be acceptable to the Lord's churches. They should be disciplined by their church, which should lead to repentance, and may include removal from leadership, and if they remain unrepentant, removal from their church. If you are not a member of this church, your participation is mostly that of an observer. If the church does not take action, you should plan to leave this church. If you are a member of this church, you should participate in the disciplinary process and expect your church to take appropriate actions to restore those leaders to the Lord's will in their personal lives. In conclusion, please know that we at the Anchor Missionary Baptist Church will pray for you. We'll be praying that God will help you to discern your situation properly. We'll pray that God will give you both wisdom and strength to do His will to whichever situation you find yourself. Also, we will pray that you will find your place in the Lord's church where you can serve Him in love, peace, and truth. May God bless you, Mr. George Dan, and all who really want to serve the Lord in one of His churches.